On this 10th day of August, 2006, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we are in chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text number 12. Natvevaham jatunasam. Natvam neme janadipaha. Nachayava nabhavishyama. Sarve vahimatak param. Natve vaham jatunasam. Natvam neme janadipaha. Nachayava nabhavishyama. Sarve vahimatak param. Natve vaham jatunasam. Natvam neme janadipa. Nchayava nabhavishyama. Sarve vahimatak param. Siddhi lalasa. Go ahead, chant. Natve vaham jatunasam. Natvam neme janadipa. Nachayava nabhavishyama. Sarve vahimatak param. Ruchi.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvevaham jatunasam.
Natvam neme janadipaha.
Nachayava nabhavishyama.
Sarve
vahimatak param. Natve vahum chatunasam. Natvam neme janadipaha. Nachayava nabhavishyama.
Sarve vayam ataparam.
Sarve vayam ataparam. Natve vahum chatunasam. Natvam neme janadipaha. Nachayava nabhavishyama. Sarve vahimatak param. Translation. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Purport. In the Vedas, in the Katha Upanishad, as well as in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the maintainer of innumerable living entities, in terms of their different situations according to individual work and reaction of work. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is also, by His plenary portions, alive in the heart of every living entity. Only saintly persons who can see, within and without, the same Supreme Lord can actually attain to perfect and eternal peace. So that was just a translation of the verse that he now quotes. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam hyobadadhati kamam tamatmastam ye nupashyanti diras tesham shanti shasvati netaresham. The same Vedic truth given to Arjuna is given to all persons in the world who pose themselves as very learned but factually have but a poor fund of knowledge. The Lord says clearly that He Himself, Arjuna, and all the kings who are assembled on the battlefield are eternally individual beings, and that the Lord is eternally the maintainer of the individual living entities, both in their conditioned and in their liberated situations. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme individual person, and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal associate, and all the kings assembled there are individual eternal persons. It is not that they did not exist as individuals in the past, and it is not that they will not remain eternal persons. Their individuality existed in the past, and their individuality will continue in the future without interruption. Therefore, there is no cause for lamentation for anyone. The Mayavadi theory that after liberation, the individual soul, separated by the covering of Maya or illusion, will merge into the impersonal Brahman and lose its individual existence is not supported herein by Lord Krishna, the supreme authority. Nor is the theory that we only think of individuality in the conditioned state supported herein. Krishna clearly says herein that in the future also, the individuality of the Lord and others, as it is confirmed in the Upanishads, will continue eternally. This statement of Krishna's is authoritative because Krishna cannot be subject to illusion. If individuality were not a fact, then Krishna would not have stressed it so much, even for the future. The Mayavadi may argue that the individuality spoken of by Krishna is not spiritual, but material. Even accepting the argument that the individuality is material, then how can one distinguish Krishna's individuality? Krishna affirms his individuality in the past and confirms his individuality in the future also. He has confirmed his individuality in many ways, and impersonal Brahman has been declared to be subordinate to him. Krishna has maintained spiritual individuality all along. If he is accepted as an ordinary conditioned soul in individual consciousness, then his Bhagavad Gita has no value as authoritative scripture. A common man with all the four defects of human frailty is unable to teach that which is worth hearing. The Gita is above such literature. No mundane book compares with the Bhagavad Gita. When one accepts Krishna as an ordinary man, the Gita loses all importance. The Mayavadi argues that the plurality mentioned in this verse is conventional and that it refers to the body. But previous to this verse, such a bodily conception is already condemned. After condemning the bodily conception of the living entities, how was it possible for Krishna to place a conventional proposition on the body again? Therefore, individuality is maintained on spiritual grounds and is thus confirmed by great acharyas like Sri Ramanuja and others. It is clearly mentioned in many places in the Gita that this spiritual individuality is understood by those who are devotees of the Lord. Those who are envious of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no bona fide access to the great literature. The non-devotees' approach to the teachings of the Gita is something like that of a bee licking on the bottle of honey. One cannot have a taste of honey unless one opens the bottle. Similarly, the mysticism of the Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotees, and no one else can taste it, as it is stated in the fourth chapter of the book. Nor can the Gita be touched by persons who envy the very existence of the Lord. Therefore, the Mayavadi explanation of the Gita is a most misleading presentation of the whole truth. Lord Chaitanya has forbidden us to read commentations made by the Mayavadis and warns that one who takes to such an understanding of the Mayavadi philosophy loses all power to understand the real mystery of the Gita. If individuality refers to the empirical universe, then there is no need of teaching by the Lord. The plurality of the individual soul and the Lord is an eternal fact, and it is confirmed by the Vedas as above mentioned. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmidatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. So this is just the second verse of Krishna's transcendental instruction to Arjuna. And already we can see Prabhupada is coming out with guns blazing, as it were. This verse, right here at the beginning, is a very important verse for understand the arguments against the Mayavad philosophy. The Mayavad philosophy states that ultimately everything is impersonal, that the ultimate truth is one with a capital O. And it is Brahman. It has no varieties. And we are part of it. We are Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. And the ultimate is Brahman. And we have simply forgotten our supreme supremacy, if you will, in this universe or in this creation. And when our avidya or our ignorance is eradicated, we will merge back into that Brahman and become the supreme with a capital S. So this philosophy is totally antithetical to the process of bhakti. Bhakti, or devotional service, requires three elements. The one served, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the servant, and the service. So if there is a merging of the individual soul with the Supreme, where is the service? There has to be a distinction. That distinction is lost in the idea of the Mayavadis. And so it is said, even though they may take a guru and they may do some service and so forth, their ultimate idea is to kick away the guru. It's unnecessary, just like everything else in this world is unnecessary. It's simply a temporary need that we may have. So this is completely antithetical to bhakti. And here Krishna refutes it. Natve vaham jato nasam natvem neme janaripa. That right away he's saying, as he said in the previous verse, but here more explicitly, that this idea of death and birth is really an illusion. That the individuality that we have is eternal. We've always been individual souls, and we will always continue to be individual persons. And Krishna will as well. But there is also an eternal difference between ourselves and Krishna. As pointed out last night, when Krishna appears in his different incarnations, or as in his original form as Krishna, he never forgets. He never forgets all his other appearances, and he knows his future appearances. Whereas we forget not only our previous births, but even this birth. There's so many things we can't remember. In a sense, this is a blessing to forget. If we would remember our previous birth, we would be horrified. We'd be paralyzed. We couldn't act at all. So Krishna, Mattak Smriti Gyanam Abhohanamsha, he says in the 15th chapter, that I am the source of forgetfulness as well. So that remembrance and forgetfulness is coming from the super soul, who is dwelling within the heart, as explained in his verse from the Upanishads. So let's go over this verse. This is a important corroboration of the present verse. Of course, this is the Gita Upanishad. This is the essence of all Upanishadic knowledge. And it's not surprising that some of the instructions are directly correspondent to the Upanishads. So this nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovadadati kaman. Usually those first two lines are quoted. It's a very easy verse to remember. There's only two or three different words in there. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. So the idea is that there are many eternal conscious living beings. Nityanam and chetananam. Those are plural. You see? So chetananam means conscious. And nitya means eternal. No birth, no death. But of all the eternal conscious living beings, there is a one. Nityaha. Nitya is singular. And chetanaha. Now what's the distinction between that one and all of the rest? Ekaha, that one, bahunam yo vidadhati kaman. That one is supplying the necessities, the desired things, of all of the rest. The kaman in this case means what we need to exist. So who is supplying? None of us in this room are supplying the needs of everyone. We can scarcely even bring enough necessities into our own life for prosperity. No, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, who is supplying the necessities for all the others. But if one wants to see that person, then one has to become shanti, one has to become peaceful, one has to become a devotee of Krishna. So let's go through this purport and see the different ideas that Prabhupada gives us here. So the first thing, he gives a translation of this verse. And this is a very nice verse. We should remember that it's nice to quote the Upanishads. There are those who don't put as much authority on the Smriti as they do the Shruti. The Shruti consists of the Vedas, the Upanishads, and when we can quote the Upanishads on a point, that kind of clinches it for anybody who is respectful of a Vedic understanding. So you'll find, for instance, in 10.8, chapter 10, text 8, which is the first of those four main verses in which Krishna says, Aham sarvasya bhavaho matak sarvam bhavartate, everything is emanated from me, the wise who know this worship me with all their heart. There are many quotes in the Upanishads in that purport, proving that Krishna is the supreme. So back to this verse. So the same truth given to Arjuna is given to all persons in the world who pose themselves as very learned but factually have but a poor fund of knowledge. So the first point is one of epistemology, which is how do we know what we know? We come to so many conclusions based on our intelligence, our mind, our senses. But because we have imperfect senses. Therefore, we tend to make mistakes and become illusioned and cheat. Therefore, whatever we can glean by this imperfect mind working through the senses can never bring us to this absolute truth. It is always a relative truth. And we can see in the history of science that there are so many misconceptions that were later discarded. You know, the idea that the sun revolves around the earth, right? So then was it Galileo, I think it was, who first, or Copernicus? I think one of the two. No, that's Newton. No, the idea that the sun revolves around the earth rather than the earth goes around the sun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, it looks that way, right? It looks like the earth is flat. And you have to understand, everybody believed that, and this was a tenet of the church in the Middle Ages. And when, I think it was Galileo, you know, said, no, the earth is actually going around the sun. They arrested him. You know, it was heresy. But because everyone believed a certain way. And there were great scholars who had become, you know, they had studied all their lives and they were very eloquent and they wrote so many things on this misconception. And it all turned out to be completely wrong. And it goes like that constantly. I remember when I was a kid, I learned that they used to think that the body was solid like a potato. Yeah. Before they had the understanding of blood and the circulation system and all these things. Yeah. Even, you know, this is what people thought. What to speak of the idea that there's little organisms like bacteria and viruses? If you can't see them, they don't exist, right? So they had no idea what caused disease. And this was widespread throughout, you know, a civilization, or at least part of it at that time. So the idea is that, and the other point is that those who were recognized as very learned in the society also believed and taught this misconception, these total misconceptions. What to speak about who is God, who are we, you know, those, they're also, you know, great learned scholars, but they're completely wrong. You know, there's no conception of even the soul and transmigration, because it's mystery, it's invisible. So the idea is that one can be recognized as a great scholar in society, but have absolutely no inkling even about this elementary point. And these Mayavadis, they also know the Vedas, supposedly. They can become very learned, but they have a total misconception. Now, why is that? Because this knowledge is only revealed when there is even a little bit of bhakti. There has to be some devotion, some recognition of the supremacy of the Lord. That's explained very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita, and the verse Prabhupada would always quote from Brahma's prayers. Atapite deva padam bhajadvaya prasada lesha nugita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachana eko picharam vichinvan. Very nice verse. Now, this is spoken by Lord Brahma, who himself was bewildered. Now, Brahma is the repository of all the Vedic knowledge. If anyone knows something, it's him. Yet, he became a little bewildered. He couldn't understand that this little boy, Krishna, was actually the great Narayan, right? And so he tested him. And then afterward, after he was chastised, you know, he offered these prayers. So these are his prayers of realization. And he says, Atapite deva padamba jadraya prasada leshanugita evahi. If someone gets even a little tiny drop of your mercy, you know, from your lotus feet, then he can understand you in truth. You reveal yourself. But others who may cogitate and meditate and study for millions of births, it's the vichinvan, you know, they cannot understand you. You remain hidden. So it is not simply our intellectual prowess, or our sensual prowess, that can uncover these truths. These simple truths about the existence of the soul and the eternality of life. If someone in a college reads this, right, and it's just a course, it's a course on Hindu religion or something, right, and they probably read the Gita like crazy all over the United States, but there's no drop of faith. It's just you're at the remove, you know, of, oh, this is an interesting idea in the history of philosophy or whatever, you know. They can't understand that you personally are eternal and you have a previous life. And of course, the implication is, oh my goodness, if I lived before, then how do I get to this point? And the thought of karma and the understanding of all of that comes in. That is not understood. It may be understood theoretically, but it doesn't enter the heart and it doesn't have any impact in changing your life and what you do. So this is this is epistemology. How do we know what we know? We have to approach a knower of the truth and surrender, serve, and inquire. This is in the fourth chapter. So we approach the Gita, as Prabhupada explains even before the Gita starts in his introduction, in the mood of Arjuna. As Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, and theoretically at least, as Krishna's God, and then we can receive the knowledge and it can have its impact on us. So let's go on. So this verse, by the way, is a tour de force of double negatives. You know, we were told in school, don't use a double negative. Well, Krishna, you know, he doesn't care. Natve vaham jatu nasam nutvam ne me janani pa, and that one line is four no's. Never did I not exist, nor these kings, nor you. Right? Never in the future shall we not exist. You see? There's like six no's in there. So this is by way of emphasis, you know? Never, 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 never. The point is, we always existed, and we always will exist, as individual persons. Very important point. So then he goes into these criticism, Prabhupada's, of the Mayavad philosophy, and this one verse refutes it. Never means never. We always existed as infinitesimal particles of spirit, part and parcel of the Lord. Never did we merge. We can have the illusion of merging by severe austerity. We can shut down the mind so we don't think of anything. We're just thinking of thinking. Right? Can you try to think of something without any content? I try to think without any thinking about anything. No image, no word, no nothing. Pretty hard. It's a great austerity. That's why the demigods, when they're praying to Krishna in the womb, in the second chapter of the 10th canon, they say, Ye anye aravinaksha vimukta maninas, fayashta bhavat avishuddha buddhaya, aruha kuchena padam padam tata patam tyadho anadvita yushmarangriha. Says, besides the devotees, there are others, O Lord, O lotus-eyed Lord, who are averse to serving your lotus feet. And because of that aversion, their intelligence should be understood to be impure. Means that they still have ego. I don't want to serve. I want to be God. The last snare of Maya. I understand that attachment to this world is a source of suffering. So we'll get rid of that. But I will be Brahman. I will be the Supreme. So to try to detach oneself from this world without becoming attached to Krishna and the beautiful sounds and prasadam and everything that we have in devotional service, try to do it. See what you do. You can't do it. You cannot become detached from this world without becoming attached to Krishna. Because those attachments are deep-seated. And they cannot be uprooted. You may suppress your senses for some time, but the desire will remain. You may stay away, but rasavajam, the rasa, the taste is there. But param drishtvanivartate, by seeing and experiencing the Supreme, one will become fixed in consciousness. One will lose the taste. If you lose the taste, then the game over. Then you're on this spiritual platform. So the idea is to get a new taste, higher taste. So the Mayavadis have no access to that higher taste. How much taste can there be in just going over and over Vedanta Sutra, I am Brahman, is not this body, you know, become detached, severe austerities, they can't enjoy prasadam. They think it's Maya. They look at Krishna's beauty and say, oh, that's Maya. It's horrible. You know, oh my Lord, I love you, but you have no eyes, you have no head, you have no hands and feet. You know, they're dry, 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 impossible. So this is because they don't accept, you know, Krishna as the Supreme. So that's a large part of this purport is they're covered by that ego that I want to be God. And So the idea is that Krishna is a transcendental source, and Prabhupada will speak about this repeatedly. When he, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, what does that mean? What is Bhagavan? You know, we get all these complete in the six opulences of strength, beauty, fame, knowledge, renunciation. These are, the definition of the Lord, and he declares himself to be such here, and he's confirmed by so many other sources. So with that understanding, okay, now let's take the knowledge. So then the idea is that the Mayavadis, they also like to get into the Gita and try to explain it from an impersonal view, but don't listen. Don't get into it. This is Lord Chaitanya's warning. Mayavadi bhasha shunule hoy sarvanash. If you listen to the commentation of the Mayavadis, then everything can be destroyed. Unless you're very, very strong and astute. So avoid them. It's dangerous. Because we all have within us, you know, that seed of rebellion against Krishna, against God. And they fan that. You can be God. You can be God. You can be God. You know, it's very it can be attractive. You know. So avoid that until we're very astute philosophically. Even it says a very astute philosopher can be bewildered by it. So it's dangerous. Okay, any comments or questions on these points? Text 12. Yes? What is the sadhana? Well, they spend a lot of time studying Vedanta and performing austerities. You know, I mean, there's different kinds, but the main thing is that they study Vedanta. They go over and over, you know, the different things, and this idea of neti neti, you know, trying to separate the neti neti means not this, not this, you know. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, you know, by Prahlad, he says this. But neti neti is kind of a sankhya idea. Is that you look around and you see, well, what do we have? You know, you can divide it into these 24 elements. Okay, earth, water, fire, air, ether. You know, then it gets more subtle, mind, intelligence, you know. So to try to live on that platform, just and be the observer of everything, you know, to feel oneself to be the observer and not get entangled in the varieties. You can see how difficult it is living in this. So generally they want to live alone. You know, they can't sit with and speak with a lady like that. You know, even in the association of others. Because it's too they don't have the spiritual strength. They feel it's too dangerous. You see? And therefore they have to live in seclusion or in the mat only with. You know, you have to take sannyas, basically, to be a real Mayavadi. There's no question of household life. Too tempting, you see. So you can see how difficult it is. Now, why is it attractive? Again, because of this idea that we can be God. Now, if you take it a little further to look at the motivation, you know, always look at the motivation. That's if you want to know where people are at, you know, what moves you to act. So the motivation of the Mayavadis is really fear. This is the motivation, right? Birth, death, old age, and disease. Oh my God! No! You know, even there's a nice song that Shankaracharya sings. It's something that we can sing also, but it has this overtone of, "Oh, my Lord, please, please save me from this horrible material life." You know, well, we can pray like that a little bit, but to only pray in that way, you know, is not what we're all about. So he has his prayers to Lakshmi Nisringa. And he prays, you know, describing the horrors of this world. Please pull me out. Please pull me out. Please pull me out. So this is their whole focus. That, oh, birth, old age, disease, and death. We're afraid of that. You see, we're always afraid. And therefore, we don't want to have anything to do with this world. So it's a life of seclusion and constant beating away at the senses and the mind because it's so difficult. What will repression accomplish? You remember that verse, Krishna? What will repression accomplish? Well, that's what they're into repression. And in fact, you find, you know, in Vrindavan, they come. Vrindavan is a holy place. The Mayavadis come there also sometimes. You see them sometimes. I've seen them when you go to Vrindavan, walking along with Tilak, you know, you can recognize them right away. They don't look very happy. You know, they're not doing kirtan and everything. They like to come to our temple, though, and sit because there's something There's juice there. There's some energy there, you know. Oh, you know, just to dry. And just imagine if we didn't have what we had, the kirtan and everything. And all we had was the heavy-duty philosophy of analyzing this world, separating spirit from matter. I am Brahman. I am Brahman. I am Brahman. It's practically inconceivable, you know, how they can do it. So in detail, I can't tell you, but I know from reading, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Prakashananda Saraswati was so critical of Lord Chaitanya. What are you dancing and chanting? It's just, you know, sentimentalism. Come in, the duty of the sannyasi, you know, in Mayavada, is to study Vedanta. Study Vedanta, you know. Okay. A few do. I don't know how many of the Mayan bodies really, modern Maya bodies really get that far. Because when you talk about Arura Kutchena, you know, the severe austerities, I mean, we're talking about, you know, going to the ones who do it probably you don't see. You know, they're off in the caves somewhere really, you know, meditating and doing severe yoga, you know, processes to burn out the desires of the senses. But it's a rare few who can really come up to that point. But I think that, as explained in this verse, they eventually come down again. Because it's not a firm standing. You know, the soul by nature wants activity, wants relationship, wants love. And so if you shut that off, it's an unnatural situation. And sometimes it's said, you know, they become like trees and, you know, like that, you know, in the next life. Because you're really shutting off your, you know, human qualities, which are, you know, steeped in matter, but they at least reflect the natural wants of the soul. Devotee would rather be in hell, you know, where you have at least your individuality and you can still chant Hare Krishna, you know, than merge into Brahman with nothing, no senses, no mind, you know, just the awareness, I am. Doesn't work for me. Yes?
Like merging into that Brahman, impersonal Brahma Jyoti, is so boring. Like they actually practically proved it. Once a devotee from Australia, they went to Vrindavan, and they are just going under the tree in the Vrindavan forest and sitting and doing the Japa Hare Krishna. And then while chanting like that, the monkeys came in the front and they started imitating them. They started disturbing them, even trying to scratch their like that kurta on the face. Then one devotee, what he did, he put half a dozen banana inside a room and left the door open. The monkey went in and immediately shut the door. All the windows were shut. The monkey was hungry, but it didn't touch the banana. It was screaming, going around the room, "Oh, when can I go out, go out, go out?" They kept it inside for 5 hours, and it didn't touch the banana at all. Uh-huh. After that, when they opened the door, it immediately ran out and joined with the other monkey.
Uh-huh.
So because he can't associate with other monkeys, he can't enjoy the banana. Similarly, when we cannot associate with other gopas and gopis, alone in the Brahma Jyoti, we can enjoy anything.
I guess that works. Okay. Okay, let's go on.
I have a question.
Okay.
At the end of the chapter, it says that...
You mean the purport?
At the end of the purport, the plurality of the individual soul. What is plurality?
Yeah, you know, actually, this is a mistake.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Individuality.
This is supposed to be...
Individuality?
No. The plurality here means the distinction.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be of. The plurality of the individual soul and the Lord is an eternal fact. Plurality meaning there, the distinction. Plural means two in this case, okay? There's always a distinction. The plurality of the individual soul and the Lord, not of the Lord. There's only one Lord. You can't say the plurality of the Lord. You see? That's the mistake. So all that means there is that the eternal difference, that we're always individual and minute, and he's eternally supreme and infinite.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's meant by that statement. Okay? Yeah. Okay, we're going to save tomorrow's verse, because tomorrow's another very significant verse.
Monday?
Huh? I'm sorry, for Monday, yeah.
What's today?
It's Thursday, yeah. It's Thursday. So thank you very much for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.